In this session, we're talking to Zachary Louis about artificial intelligence, how he uses AI to augment his practice, and what this means for the future of our profession.
So it seems like the buzz everywhere is artificial intelligence. Apparently Skynet is real, the robots are coming for our jobs, we're all going to be replaced. So what does this look like for our profession? What's going to happen to traditional Chinese medicine in this AI revolution?
Well, the first thing is AI coming for our jobs. I debate that.
Yeah.
I would say if you're not doing your due diligence, yes, you might actually get replaced. But we also know that if you do the actual practices, you know, you keep up on your studies, CEUs, things like that, then you ain't going to get replaced, and AI may actually be your best assistant.
So how is that going to work with AI assisting a TCM practice? Like, what does that look like?
Well, I think it comes down to, for if you're a new graduate, like, let's be honest, unless you're apprenticing people, yeah, way before you even get to the field, you're probably going to have some questions like, well, why doesn't the treatment work? What points do I use? I know that sounds kind of silly because people would be in a student clinic and they're like, of course, this is what's going to work. But being honest, it doesn't always work. And when you see increased flow of clients, you're getting thrown into the deep end. So then people start buying CEUs, people start trying to explore things, they start asking questions to their former professors, all these types of things, because we know that we know in reality that there's a lot of hiccups. And this is where AI can actually help us look into those studies and from there draw from all the data and give suggestions to you, which then you can intellectually analyze and say, well, yeah, this could actually help my diagnosis directly. And then it could actually help you on your point locations in terms of what point suggestions you could use for prescription or herbs even.
So have you been using this in your practice?
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, it's one of those things that, I mean, I always love technology. It's like, I'm a big techie, even though I would be stated I'm an end user. Right? So I like the basic things, but if it works, it works. So, I mean, with these technologies, I mean, our clinic's probably one of the most technological ones in Toronto. We have lasers, we have electromoxa, because we don't want to smell it, the whole show to smell like weed,
yeah.
Right? We have eSTEM, and then, you know, with the augment of the AI pieces, we've been utilizing this to very good effect, where we can actually use this as part of the process of education. So we would say we would hook up somebody on their points, and then we would do a scan quickly, very similar to the old school Akbani type of diagnostic with incense, but now we're using technology for that. And we're analyzing the meridians, we're seeing where their deficiencies are, and the best thing is, if I like a certain system, I could program it into this. At least for the machine,
yeah,
right? And then I could say, well, you know, I love my four needle technique. Which meridian's deficient? Which meridian is excess? And here's my point combinations I will use every single time. And then the AI spits it out saying, this is the best of the best from all these combinations you could be using. And if this is the issue, this is what we recommend. And then it goes into things like food therapy because we've programmed that into it. It goes into things like lifestyle, qigong prescriptions. So it's as far as you go with the programming. And fortunately, the co-owner is a tech guru, so we're able to do all those things.
So what does the process look like? Are you just like typing symptoms into a chat GPT box? Or are you hooking people up to electrodes? Or like, walk me through the process of what happens when the patient comes in.
Right. So I think it depends because it's like we have, at least in the workshop, we're going to be presenting two different AI technologies. One is actually a free online one where you just put in your plug in signs and symptoms. This was made during the pandemic by a tech person. They were actually utilizing like direct professors in China for this.
Oh, okay.
And they were using their textbooks as references. I mean, even today, they just did an update where I was typing in signs and symptoms. And they're like, do you mean this, 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 or this? And they were actually compilating that ahead of time for signs and symptoms, because usually one of the test things I like to do is actually like think of a pattern. What's the pattern sign and symptoms? Like, oh, spleen qi deficiency, fatigue, listlessness, abdominal distension, all those types of things. And this is where that's, as you keep inputting things, like any other algorithm, it keeps taking in the data. So there's enough of these signs and symptoms coming in.
And is it like asking you for clarification? Is it asking for feedback as you're doing that?
So you can actually, it'll give you the points in particular. So you'll, like, if you put in signs and symptoms, it'll even give you things like I was looking at just earlier today, just as, you know, for testing purposes again, because they're always updating it. And I said, okay, why would I use this point for these signs and symptoms? But then I didn't prompt it correctly. Prompting is the key thing with any AI.
Yeah.
So I looked at it, I gave it three signs and symptoms. That's not a lot of information to go with. If I gave it more signs and symptoms, it'd be more clear. But even on that, it was like, well, maybe use tripyrrhenidazole 6. For spleen qi deficiency, that's actually quite reasonable. I actually do use that in my practice a lot. It said maybe use bladder 25. I'd say, well, water metabolism, maybe that makes sense if there's dampness. Like, it's not the best, but it's good enough to go. And there's many other points. Like, I find in particular when you go over with the spleen ones, it really likes CV12.
Yeah.
It really likes the CV points. But as we know, these are all points we would actually utilize in the textbooks too. So it's drawing from those textbooks, it's drawing from the online databases, from PubMed and all the studies. So that's where I find it very good for diagnostics if you're just beginning, because do you really want to memorize everything? Let's be honest, that's a lot of work. You got through a board exam and that's probably going to fall out of your head because you got the normal life to go back to, right?
So when you talk about the importance of prompting, is that just a matter of inputting more signs and symptoms, or is there like a specific language that you have to speak in order to get the good outcomes? Like,
it is order of operations, right? So this is where you can plug in your signs and symptoms, but at least with the online browser one, it is your ordering of which sign and symptom comes first, because it's going to look at that and say, one, two, three, these are your priorities. Okay. That's where we're going to really base the case from. Now, with the machine AI that we're utilizing, that's a little bit of a different story, because I was able to program it with our co-owner on that. Mm-hmm. So this is where, him being the tech whiz, we programmed that in and we're like, all right, these are the foods you would use for this. This is possibly the Qigong. These are the acupoints. So at that point, it's like a mini me, which is awesome, because I can actually play games with myself now. I mean, we've talked about this before. It's like playing the shadow games in your head. Except now I got like literally an AI that can do that with me. So now I can look at the profiles of the more sophisticated AI tech there and say like, okay, how would I actually improve this? And it actually spits out treatment plans, right? So it's not just me thinking like, oh, I might think 5 to 10 sessions with acupuncture, but it does it for me. And now I can reflect with that and say, well, how would I improve this?
I guess that's kind of an interesting thing that they talk about with all types of AI, is that sometimes you introduce some inherent bias based on what you're programming it with or what it's learning. And so I'm wondering, like, would that happen here where it's like, I know like Machioja has his favorite points, or certain practitioners have their go-to points. Do you end up with that kind of bias where it's like, oh, we have a Machioja style AI? And I guess, is that a good or a bad
thing?
Well,
the good thing about the AI bias, at least with the online one, I found it to be pretty neutral overall. Now, with the machine that we have in the studio, guess what? It's your bias. So if you want to throw in whatever data, it's going to give it to you. So it's determined by you at that point.
So I guess part of the way I feel about this is, like, I've gone to symposiums and they have like these machines that will take the pulse for you. And people always ask me about those. And I was always kind of like, well, you could use those, or you could just learn how to take the pulse. Or they have different machines that will find the point. They use bioimpedance to find the points. It's like, you could use those, or you could just like learn how to do point location. So I'm curious about your take on this, because I know you have more of a traditional background in studying with masters. How does this... I mean, is this just an excuse for people to be lazy and not actually learn how to do the medicine?
Absolutely not. I mean, I still think you need to get those skills down. This is an assisting tool, right? So this is where, do you let the tools own you, or do you work with the tool? This is where I'm always going to say, let the tools help you, make you better. Because at the point that you understand what the tools can be about, then you can actually use this as a tutor in some ways. So instead of saying, like, I want to go apprentice this person, yes, there's going to be that osmosis through the idea that you're going to just get the energy from someone watching them. We know that with mirror neurons, all these types of things. Like, there is definitely an energetic background to things. But this is also the thing. You have to work with clients, right? So if you understand your clients, you want to give them some proof in the pudding for those treatment plans. So your skills alone, unless you develop communication skills, body language skills, and essentially selling skills on those things, you're going to have to do all those things the old school way. What do we like about the modern day, though? People like proof. People like papers. People like seeing stats and charts, right? This is just, you know, marketing 101. So if you're able to say, hey, this is what this is, and then I will analyze this for you and interpret this for you because you have the education, well, at that point, it's the best of both worlds. So this is where I see it as you need to have the skills, but then you can use this for self-education. You can throw in points that you would never use into the program. Like with the online browser, I'm like, I would never use these points. Tell me to do back shoe points. I gave that up a long time ago, right? But I see the logic why it would do that. And the success rate, it even is saying, I'm this X competent about this prescription. They'll tell you like how confident they are based on the case study. So some of them are like 80%, some of them are 40%. So you still have to use your judgment there, but it introduces enough chaos in your neurology because it breaks you out of your model, right? I might like doing four needle technique. I might like doing traditional things, but if I'm stuck in the mud and that's the only thing I know and there's nothing to introduce, there's no new growth. So even just analyzing new techniques, new point prescriptions, if it is for points or if you're an herbalist, looking at different herbal formulas even, does actually jog your brain to be more creative too.
Yeah, so I guess that's kind of interesting when you're talking about like, is there inherent, there can be bias in the program, in the programmer who, or what the machine was learning from, but it seems like it's very, a lot of practitioners get stuck in their own rut and they end up using the same 10 points over right. and over. So this would at least introduce something new to give you some new ideas and be like, oh, I forgot about that point. I forgot Anmian was a thing. Maybe I should try that.
Absolutely. And this is where like I find this is great in terms of throwing in those pieces. Now, could you even make a curriculum from this? Well, these aren't the programs to do that. This is supposed to help you on diagnosis and prescriptions. But if you start utilizing this with other AI software, you can start building a whole curriculum being like, I want to program this into the TCM thing and throw a little chaos in my mind. So then we can play around with this and then you can get more confident and you start seeing those deeper patterns. And that's what I really like about the online one. It's seeing deeper patterns that I might not consciously understand. Or I might actually have to think about it and be like, you know, I wouldn't choose that point, but CV12 for abdominal distension, why would it do that in reference to a bladder 25? Oh, it's working on water metabolism. I totally understand that. That's a kidney problem. You're saying the kidneys are the furnace to the spleen. This makes perfect sense now. But how often do we reiterate those basic core foundational theories? Now, you and I, we do it all the time because that's our shtick. But most practitioners, like, book's done, match coach is done, board exams are done, screw it. This will keep you on your toes.
It's like, I passed my boards and now I'm going to sell all of my textbooks on Facebook.
Right.
And never look at them ever again.
Right.
So does this have other... So it seems like now we're talking a lot about this is just a way to give you ideas or to tell you about things that you haven't thought of before. Are there other advantages to this? Like, does it make your intake process quicker? Are you able to see more patients because of it? Or does it actually slow you down because now you're having to type into a computer instead of talking to your patient? Is it going to give you red flags? Are there other advantages?
Right. There is. There absolutely is. That's all in the depending on the programming prompting, right? So like,
yeah.
I think it could actually expedite things. Like, could you do a diagnosis in 3 minutes? Most people can't, right? I can, but I have a community acupuncture background. So it was 3 minutes in, needles were in less than 5 minutes, but that's a little bit of a, here's the deep end and you're in the war zone, right? So, but if you could just type that in ahead of time, because you have the information, like, you know, depending how you do your processing of your intake, they might put it in ahead of time. And if they do, then you look at those signs and symptoms and you just plug it in for your own program, right? And then you say, all right, great. That saves you the time. Like, that's usually one of the things where, like, I'm just going to confirm the diagnostics by the time people come in. So doing this, having a small sit down for a few minutes and saying, this is what I think it is, because we know with acupuncture, palpation's a thing. But if you know, the machine's going to help you understand those meridian weaknesses and excesses ahead of time, you already kind of know your prescriptions depending on how you like to play the game. It could be back shoe points, could be front move points, could be four shoe points, five transfer points, whatever it is. But that's already all preset for you then. If you want to use the machine that we're talking about, if it's online browsing piece, you still have points you can work with ahead of time because you're going to see those patterns too.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea. I didn't think about that. It's like you could have them fill out a questionnaire beforehand. If they're like scheduling an online appointment, they could fill out some symptoms. And if you know what kind of prompts the AI needs, you could give them those same kind of prompts, and then you could have something already kind of prepared. You can be ahead of it when they come in. And
right, and that streamlines your intake, that streamlines how many clients you can put through the door, right? So it's like, sure, you might take 3 minutes to do the testing with them, but that testing gets them more invested in their treatment anyways. There's a psychological aspect to this where they're like, oh, you're not the everyday acupuncturist anymore. You actually are working with something because people believe in technology. People believe in Macs or like whatever computer system they have. They may not know why it works, but if you can tell them a story around the interpretation you're doing because you're working with a machine, they're going to say you're that much more professional, because that's what you see in the hospitals. That's what you see in the doctor's offices. So this is where you're using that to actually help you streamline intakes, get more authority, get more belief effects coming through the door. And then you do the needles based on what you best interpret things. It's not saying follow it directly by the book. Again, you're the educated person. You're the one that's been in it minimum 2 years, if not 5 years, depending on your program. So this is where you still have to look at your normal diagnostics and things. But for the idea generation and for those other things, those are skill sets you would have to develop. And that takes a lot more time, especially when you're just graduating and you're in that first year by yourself.
Yeah, and I guess I could see this being really useful in terms of like you said, those other recommendations about like patient homework, about here are some food therapy recommendations, here are some exercise recommendations, here's some Qigong. And that's something that you could have a system spit that all out before the patient even gets there. And so you can just, when they show up, you have something that you can hand them right away and something that they can take home with them. And that kind of increases the value that way.
And even on that thing, it's like, I've utilized AI for most of my TCM career in some shape or way, right? So this is where even things like the Lingu Ba Fa, right? Like, those hourly points that you use, and everyone's like, these are esoteric points. Doing those hand calculations sucks. I will tell you that right off the bat. You try and calculate that hoary hour on top of the month, on top of the calendar, on top of the day. Doing it old school, it takes about 10 minutes. And if you're better, maybe 7, right? But there's a lot of calculations on that. And the good thing about this whole thing is you can program those in and say, this is the hour point, and this is what you're going to be using for this hour to augment the 8 extraordinary meridians, to work with this particular meridian point of this hour. So you can add the hoary aspects too, which, I mean, that's usually insanity for most people, but that has a nice kick to it when you start utilizing it.
Yeah, I feel like there was a scene in Harry Potter, the book, about this, where it's like Harry has to take like 6 semesters of astrology or astronomy or astrology. And it's like, it's all like you're looking in a telescope, writing, like calculating all these angles and making all these things. And then he goes to like the magical wizarding store on Diagon Alley, and there's a machine, like basically a pocket calculator that can do it for you. And it's like, oh man, if I had this, I would never have to take another astrology course ever again. So I feel like even if it was like I know people do like Baza and different feng shui things like that, that sounds like it could be really useful.
It is absolutely useful. And I mean, I would honestly say, even though I had I had the family lineage teachers I learned from, Baza, feng shui, they are part of the medicine classically speaking, but they are a pain in the ass to do. I will be straight. So my introduction to this was, it was an old app. This is like early 2000s. And, you know, the one teacher's like, yeah, just use your cell phone, dude. Here's the app. You pay $5. Not the best, but it does the work for you for calculations. But that was my entry into that. See, like if you said, well, Zach, calculate all this crap out yourself and then figure out the points, I'd be like, screw this. I just want the results. I want to see the wow, right? So you could actually just take those charts from online. They're on Google. Put them into a machine like the one we have here, and then you could do that, and that's a little more advanced, and you could have that part of the prescription saying, this is the hour, and now you started playing the game of, well, I am the all-knowing sage with no beard, yeah, and all that, right? Because people like this stuff because it's interesting, right? It may sound like gimmicky, but it's not, because the more you can get your client involved on things, and then you talk about the astrology, you talk about the balance, you talk about the feng shui, these things actually can help. So, and if it helps you look at even the jie qi, like the 24 clock or 24 months or nodes, I should say, this is where you can get really detailed if you want to program that into the machine. Now, the online browser program we're going to be discussing in the workshop will not cover that, right? It's just straight signs and symptoms. But again, from straight signs and symptoms, it's better than nothing in terms of, you know, do you trust your training for the 4 to 5 years? You should, but you still have hundreds of case studies that have been put online through medical research that this is pulling from. So it's going to take the best research from blind studies and give it to you in a few minutes.
And so I guess, what does this look like from the patient perspective, and how do they respond to it? Like, when you are doing your intake, are you sitting in front of a patient typing things into a computer in front of them? Or is it something you do behind the scenes, or?
It's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of both. Just depends. Like the machine, they sit down, we do that, and it spits out the information there, right? And from there, they're seeing it, like I'll type a few things, but I could already show them the chart by the time we do the, pulsing with the machine, we were able to measure and be like, we'll actually show the chart graph and say, like, these are the meridians that are weak. And at that point, I kind of already know, it's like, well, if you have an excess stomach, what are we going to do? Well, I'm going basically drain it. So, or I'll see weaknesses where I say, hey, your liver's a little bit off here. You've been feeling a little more stressed these days. And they'll be like, yeah. So then I'm interpreting the graph for them, and then I'll put in the back end information for signs and symptoms. But I already kind of have an idea what to work with there based on the diagnostics I'm coming up with. And I'm using the AI to confirm and validate my diagnostics even further, and vice versa.
And so how do they respond to this from the patient point of view? Because I can imagine this going two ways, where on the one hand, it's like, oh, they see this, they see you typing this computer and think, oh, you're a cheater. You're not a real traditional doctor because you're using this technology. But on the other hand, I could see it almost being interpreted as more valid, because sometimes you get people, they take the pulse and like, I think your spleen is a little bit low. And they're like, I think you're just making that up. But when they see it printed out from a machine, they might actually be more likely to believe it. So how's that response been?
It's, again, it's the finessing. This is going back to like skills, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're weird about it, people are going to be weird about it. If you're cool with it, people are going to be cool with it. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. People come in, we do the machine, we're saying, hey, you know, we got that. This is to help confirm the diagnostics that I've taken from you. And I'm just using this to validate your own diagnostic to be the best that we can do today. Because ultimately, we want you to have the best experience, and we're going to merge the best of both worlds. My own personal experience with technology. And from there, you will come up with the best treatment we can for today with lots of recommendations. And then everyone's like, hell to the yeah, you're working harder for me. And we are. So this is like, at that point, it's, again, it's like you're having two practitioners all at once working as a team.
So I feel like in other spaces, I've heard this kind of quote that people are worried about being replaced by robots, as I alluded to before. But what they really say is, you won't be replaced by AI, or your job won't be replaced by AI, but you might be replaced by someone who can use AI. And so
Correct. Do
you think that people who don't embrace this technology, are they going to be left behind? Are they going to be left in the dust by people like you who are using this?
I, I think it really depends on your training. Did you do apprenticeships and did you do it the old school way? Because if you didn't, this is the way to even the playing field, right? Like, you know, we joke around where it's like, well, do I want to meditate and do Qigong for 2-3 hours? No, you probably don't. And that's okay. That's not everyone's journey, right? You want anime life, you do anime things. But if you want to even the playing field, use technology to help you even the playing field. Because again, I look at the inputting those signs and symptoms. These are off of professional, like, Chinese medicine doctors in China and worldwide. And this is their data being used. So are you going to replace 40 years of experience? Probably not. And that's one person, never mind all the other sourcing. So if we're combining all that together, this is where, yes, if someone knows how to use AI, your job prospects are going to probably be much less in comparison to someone that can actually use it, because they're going to come up with what? They might have 200 years experience at that point, right? But if you actually do the training, you do like the traditional training where you're meditating, doing the Qigong, doing the whole sage life, well, then maybe you stand a chance. Maybe, right? But that's assuming you work with all your other skill sets to do that. So this is kind of one of those things of, I think it depends on the circumstances. I think it depends on the individual. But at the end of the day, can you get the results? That's what people want. And that's how they're going to grade things. It's, can you get results? With the AI and myself, I know I was already fantastic with results. Put that with an AI, that's even better results. So if someone had to choose between our studio and someone else, there's no contest, right? But this also says if you do both types of learnings, the traditional and the AI, you're forced to be reckoned with.
Yeah, so I guess like from a student perspective, could you just use this as a learning tool?
Oh, absolutely.
Like even if you're not actively seeing patients, is it something you could just like play around with it and be like, this is a way to learn my Machi Ocha point prescriptions, or this is a way to come up with new research and new ideas?
Absolutely. So like as a new student or even a graduate student, this is where I think AI has a lot of capabilities to help with learning. Like as a teacher, this is kind of one of the things I look at, saying like, well, how do you expedite the learning curve, right? How do you work on things in context? And this is where these particular technologies we're talking about in the workshop, they can actually help you bring up the signs and symptoms. Because if you're typing in signs and symptoms and you're looking at the point recommendations, it's going to make you have curiosity. The curiosity is what facilitates learning. So, you know, Machi Ocha, we all know, is dry as hell, right? This is why everyone loves, you know, when you do emojis. This is why everyone loves it when I get all theatrical about things, right? But it is this piece of, well, what does AI do for you? This is outside of the two technologies, but you could use AI to help you learn and facilitate that and say, okay, for the machine, you could put in whatever interest you want. That's a good thing. As long as you just input it, which is not hard, by the way. Like, it's very easy to actually, like, you're like, do I need coding and things? Like, no, you just need some basic Word doc and say, this is the data and this is how you input the data. So anything you're curious about, you could put into the machine and it'll give you the results for that every single time. And you could be like, what happens if I combine this? So, you know, let's put an imaginary context here. Say you want to do that whole feng shui and astrology thing, but you really like food therapy. So what? Maybe you take a book like Whole Foods. And maybe you take a Ling Gu Ba Fa type of technology or input. You could combine them and say, well, what are the foods that would be perfect for kidneys? And it's going to say, these are the foods. If you're doing herbal things, it'll actually give you your herbal pieces. So this is what I like about that side of things, where like the tech, even though we don't utilize it here because I can't do prescriptions yet, right? It's one of those things that if people want to put like certain products, they absolutely could put their own products into it and then say, okay. Hey, I didn't think kidney yin formulas could be used for this, but it's taking from different streams and now it's comparing them for you. Right, that's a machine. Now with the online person, the online one, browser-based one, that is all signs and symptoms. So you can put weird signs and symptoms together, because, you know, what's the thing that screws up people on graduation? mixed cases.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You're like liver yin or liver chi liver chi stagnation with heart blood deficiency. You're like, what the hell do I do? Put it all in there. It'll give you some points. And I could guarantee, you know, most of the points are going to be reasonable to work with. It may not pass you on your board exams, but clinically speaking, it's taking all the data that this is what probably is being utilized. So that's where, from a learning curve standard, it's excellent. And I mean, I get new ideas all the time working with it, where I'm like, hey, that's pretty cool.
Are there any potential dangers to using this? Because I feel like I can imagine a situation where you have a C student who barely graduated, and now they're just blindly following what the computer tells them to do and without much discernment. Is there some possible danger to this?
Well, it comes down to, do they get past the board exams, right? Because board exams will make sure you actually are safe and know your stuff to some degree.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you couldn't be stupider with a computer than without one,
right?
Could you?
So this is where I'd say, yeah, like these technologies that I'm discussing here, they're not going to replace you. You still need to know your stuff. Like, and if people are like, well, I could use this to pass a board exam, you're not going to pass a board exam with that. That's critical thinking skills you're asking for. So this is where it's used as an assistant, and it's going to give you ways of working with the knowledge, ways of working with signs and symptoms, prescriptions, in a way that you haven't thought, and you can't mindlessly just follow it. I mean, you can follow it, but again, you're probably going to disagree with some things. Like, these aren't perfect things. They're always growing. They're always learning. That's the whole point of machine learning. They're always doing something. So this is where you might have a particular style, and then you like using that. But in terms of the dangers there, I would say even the softwares themselves, the online browsers, this does not replace you being a doctor. You need to go to a doctor, because that whole basing for the online browser base was people would put in signs and symptoms during the pandemic because they couldn't see their acupuncturist, and then your acupuncture would be utilized. But, you know, you have to check the box and say, this does not replace a doctor. Meaning, if you're the practitioner utilizing this, well, you're the practitioner. So it's only there to help you facilitate things. Now, with the machine piece, again, is that going to replace you? No, you have to put your brain into it still. Except your brain's a lot bigger than you think now. So this is where I'm not worried about those danger pieces. I'd be worried about the, again, competition aspects. It's someone utilizing the technology and then saying, well, I can come up with better treatments than most people. That's when you start getting into other things where if employees are in a clinic and they say, hey, you have to use the machine. Sure, you can do that and you can blindly follow the machine. But there's probably set protocols that, you know, you don't do GB31 perpendicular, right? Like, it's assuming, it's not going to tell you angles and things like that. So the acupuncture skill still has to be there from the physical standards. Even from the herbal standards, as herbalists, you would still need to know all these contraindications, when it's appropriate to use it, when not to use it.
So you're doing a workshop coming up in August. What's going to be covered in that?
So what we're covering, it's going to be a morning and afternoon workshop for a few hours. And with that, we are in the morning going to be covering the machine, or actually, is it the machine? It is the machine I think we're covering. If not, it's going to be the browser. But we're showcasing two different technologies for AI. One is a browser-based, and that is for anyone online. You can utilize that as long as you have an internet. So that's the good thing. It's free access once we discuss things, and then in that, we're going to be going through prompting, which is really a big thing in particular to get the best results for diagnostics and prescriptions. And then from there, we're going to talk about case studies showing how this could be used. And we're going to let people explore that and practice on themselves in the workshop, right? And then on top of that, then we have our studio's AI machine, but it's just a machine, but we programmed it. So again, it's you put in whatever data you want. But we're going to showcase that also, and we'll be doing case studies and actual practicals. So if people are doing online learning, they're not going to be able to get the hands-on practice, unfortunately, with the machine, but we're still going to have the camera there, and we're going to have people discuss things. So you'll see the charting, you'll see the prescriptions, you'll see all that, and it'd be like, that's pretty cool, right? And then for people interested in that machine, we have worked out a deal, so we can actually work with our supplier to get you that machine in particular, and then you could input whatever you want, right, into the data set there. So it's case studies, it's practicals, it's utilizing understanding the technology, and it's going to be co-taught by the co-owner. He is also our tech guru. It's his, like, he's in technology every single day. And then for myself, I'm coming from the Chinese medicine side, and we're going to talk about how these two worlds synergize together. And then finally, we're going to look at this and say, like, okay, how does this make a practical everyday use for you right now? Because knowing that you can use an online prompting for online internet things, that's a game changer, where you can just say, hey, I don't know the answer to this. Am I going to do 4 gates? The answer is probably no. It's probably going to be better than 4 gates, right? So that's what we're going to be doing for that workshop in particular. And it is a limited number. So we are doing it where we're going to hit anywhere between, I think the cap is between 8 to 15 people. And if it's online, it doesn't matter per se, but physically we have a cap because our space is only so big. And then what we are going to do is provide the internet here. So we have, like, really high speed internet, as long as people bring their own iPads and laptops, right? That's the only thing you need to bring by yourself in particular. But that is all for the workshop. And with the workshop in particular, this is on August 12th. So we do have an early bird, but that will be shutting down eventually. So this is where I'd say get in when you can, because, yeah, this stuff is going to be on the forefront. And a lot of people are really like ChatGPT this and all these other AI technologies, but no one's really covered the TCM side of things. And we're going to cover that as pioneers and saying, yes, this is how you do this if you don't know anything. If you do know something, this confirms things for you to make your treatments better, make your clients happier, giving them more education, giving you essentially a tutor also. And then from there, obviously, we will talk about traditional stuff in a different workshop if people are interested, but this is purely focused on the AI uses.
So for that browser-based one, is that just a website? Is that a free thing? Is that a subscription thing?
It's a free thing, right? So it's free and it's open access. So
And that was created in China by Chinese doctors?
It was actually
doctors?
Created by someone in Europe. So they're in tandem with, they've already scanned like multiple, like I think they did like 80 books already. So.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering, like, is it possible that that system would have information that we don't have translated
Correct.
Into English yet? Because I think that's kind of one of the things that makes it very difficult in the West, that we, like, you know, we have our Machiocha and our Bob Flaws, mm-hmm. that some of our books were written 20 years ago. And it's just in terms of the current studies, I feel like there's so much information there, but we don't have access to it because it's not usually translated into English.
Right. And it is taking books directly from Chinese texts with renowned Chinese medicine professors and, like, teachers in China. So it's taking their case studies, throwing them in the system, and then being siphoned into treatments that you could be utilizing. So that's, like, again, that lost in translation piece. Yeah, we're limited by what we have as a language, but guess what? That's been translated into this online browser piece. So you're getting the best things. I mean, you can't say everything, but you're getting the best of the best that's possible that could be scanned and still consistently updating. And I mean, there's already like 80 textbooks on that and more. So even as I'm utilizing it, guess what's happening? The data is going inside of this. So this is where, and if other people are using it too, which they are in China, well, guess what? You're getting a constantly evolving hive of knowledge that you get direct access to.
And then for the second one, the machine one, is that like a freestanding machine or?
So that is not a freestanding machine. I mean, the machine has cost, but the good thing about that particular machine is it can connect to things like your iPhone. So if you are like, how do I use this? Well, it's just a little machine. You're scanning the points. And again, it's very based off of like different technologies in Japan. Right, so this is where they're taking, like, I'd say Akbani techniques, and they're using other systems also to kind of trace the meridian's potency, and then it says this is excess, this is deficiency, and then you get to tell it what do you do for those points. So if it says, again, these Marines or Rexes are deficient, now you can plug in your points that you like to use, and if you give multiple point choices to it, it'll choose the best one, depending on what it thinks fits best.
Yeah, so there are like physical probes attached to it that you use to scan a patient, or?
Nope, it's just it's a little machine, like a little, I don't want to say a handgun, but it is like a little, it's one probe, and you just tap it, and
okay.
Each thing's about like the... it's essentially using E-stem technology to kind of pulse through the meridian. And then at that point, it gives you the feedback loop right there. You see the data and say, okay. And then if you have a distrust of it, which having practiced it, I don't, this is where I look at that and like, I'm pulping. I'm like, yeah, it's actually, this is pretty cool stuff. And this is the best thing. Palpation takes skills. It takes practice. And I'm saying you don't need to learn any of that. Like not everyone wants to touch people. Not everyone wants to do Twaina. So at the point that you could just be like, here's a Jing Well point, boom, oh, what's there? Well, this is a deficiency. All right, great. I know right off the points what I should be working with. UN source points, maybe some Hussey points. It really starts eliminating a lot of processes for me. And if you're doing that for all 12, it only takes a few minutes. And that's the beautiful thing. So you know the excess, you know the deficiencies. It even gets into things like yin-yang balancing. And it takes all those meridians and says, hey, this is what we say for Yin Meridians. This is what we say for Yang Meridians. Let's look at how to balance that. So that's the incredible thing.
So this is kind of like a handheld palpation device.
Correct.
Does it also take inputs in terms of symptoms, or is it just relying only on those measurements?
It's relying on those measurements, and then you can input your signs and symptoms for that to add greater clarification. So it's taking the biofeedback off of the machine, putting it in a chart form, and then you would say, well, if it is an excess, this is what you would do. If it is a deficiency, this is what you would do. And I mean, this probe has been, you could program it for Korean hand acupuncture. It's been pretty successful for that. It's been used by acupuncturists like myself. And this is where it is basically what you want it to be is what you get. Again, it's a complete blank canvas. It just gives you the information of this is excess, this is deficiency, these are the recommendations you would input into it. And that's a beautiful thing. So this is where the more data you give it, the more sophisticated it will become. And it doesn't take that long to program this, because guess what? There is a copy and paste function you can do from the internet or your books, and you just plug it in the machine and you're good to go.
Yeah, so it sounds like the internet version, the browser version, it's you're just getting the information that's been scanned in from China. But with this palpation machine, it's something that you can sort of mold it to your own style.
Right.
Or mold it to. So it's much more personalizable to your own style or to your own preferences.
Right. And this is where, you know, people are getting even on a greater level. It's like, who doesn't want a mini you, right? So if you're training people, like we train people here, you know, I could spend the time working with, the students here, but then I could just be like, hey, you want mini me, this is how you would do it, right? And you'll always have access to that through the machine. Now, is it going to replace my sensitivity in training? No, but it's better than not having it at all, right? So this is where this is why I think technology and these AI pieces are so incredible. Because again, if you can make it so custom toward you, you could actually customize it to one of your teachers. And you'd be like, hey, could you break it down? And you could actually think about things and say, this teacher does this. This teacher does this. This teacher does this. Well, let's put all that data in. And now you're the sum. The machine will take those three people and their point prescriptions or their herbal prescriptions and see which one's the best one to juggle based on everything else in the matrix. So that's a cool thing. So then you're getting all those years of experience that you might have to think through, and you may not know which one's the best appropriate one, but the machine actually says, hey, I looked at all the information, I've analyzed it, and this is the best one based on this combination of what your teachers have said in the past, or any experts you actually love and would learn from. It's the same thing.
So is there like an ability to export profiles? Like if I had one of these machines, could you train your machine in your style and then export it? And like, I can download Mastery Zach Louis into my machine. And
so that is something that's definitely like, we've talked to the developer about this, and this is where that is a possibility as an app where you could actually get like saying like, because they do custom coding. So we've talked about this and this is where that is an option as a possibility.
So I guess I'm wondering about where this is going in the future, because I think we've talked about before, like you said, like you have to come to a decision. Is this an energetic practice or isn't it? And so I guess, is this taking away the energetic practice? Or I guess, could we foresee a point where the machine is not just being diagnostic, it's also doing the treatment? And how much do you lose if a machine is just impersonally, unenergetically doing your treatment versus, I guess, again, we're getting back to this question of to what extent does the energy of the practitioner, to what extent does that matter?
Well, I think this comes down to interaction, right? The machine does not replace human interaction. It never will. But it is probably better at diagnostics than most people, right? Because it has a lot more data to work with. But your interaction, your needling, your whole ritual of a treatment, that's you. Even if a machine says, hey, this is what I think the person needs based on all the data sets you've given me and all the information I could pull from, you can follow that along, but on the table, things might change. It's a good starting place to template. And then for you, if you don't care about energetics and that's not your shtick, well, you're probably getting better information than what someone could individually by themselves. Because let's be honest, we go through all the texts all the time, so it's saturated in our memories. But is that the majority of people? No. I mean, if you say, Zach, do I actually get free time to read past, you know, teaching? No, I don't. I'm busy enough. I like playing video games. I like having a life, right? So yeah. This is where that you're not going to be able to condense multiple Machiocha books or condense multiple Bob Flaws or any other books on the TCM market. There's so many and they're constantly growing. So this is where let the AI take those signs and symptoms, do the analysis for you, and then so you kind of get the Cliff Notes version of it, of just getting the results that your clients need. And then what you can focus on is if people choose it and they want to do the energetics, now on the table, now that's where the show happens. You're using the machine to prompt you, but you're interpreting the information, you're working with the needles in an energetic way, and then at that point, you get the best of both worlds again. Because now you're doing the actual energetic practice and the machine's there for the authority proof. So at that point, who wouldn't want that type of combination?
I guess I'm just imagining a future where it's like you walk into a booth that's like a vending machine and you just put a few coins in and then the machine does it for you. Like if you have the not so great insurance, then you get the robot acupuncturist. But if you have the premium fancy insurance, you get the real person. But
well, yeah, no, now you're reminding me of Idiocracy, the movie, right? Where yeah. It's like done.
It's like if you just got the NHS, they just have the robots doing it for you. You got to pay extra to get the real guy doing it.
Yeah, yeah. So this is where I think the key thing really with everything is. When we're looking at these technologies, it doesn't replace the human interaction. It does not replace anything with your skill sets that you have developed with the needles or even your herbal prescriptions. I mean, it's probably much higher on the use for an herbalist, actually, than an acupuncturist. An acupuncturist, there's still a body communication that happens that cannot be replaced. But when we start looking at things from the place of an herbalist, well, what do most herbalists do? It is closer to computer stuff in a weird way when you think about it, like these signs and symptoms, struggle in, these are your herbal prescriptions. So I think it poses a bigger question for someone that comes from an herbal background of, well, are you replaceable if the machine can just give herbal prescriptions out? Mind you, you still have to do the validity test yourself, but if it's pulling in all the information sets, and you don't have as much human contact, well, that becomes a harder question for the herbalist, right? Because again, it's pulling from all the hundreds of herbalists that would be doing the information for you and cloning them. So this is where I would say as an herbalist, that is a harder place where, because it's like, if you're just looking at signs and symptoms and you're just looking at pulse and tongue, machine can't do a pulse and tongue, but it can definitely do the signs and symptoms at this point. And it could definitely measure the meridian potencies, which then give you information for, again, what you program into it. So this is where I would say, as an herbalist, this is going to make you a super herbalist, though, if you can get it down right. But if you don't, and someone utilizes that and they're coming from an herbal standard, yeah, at that point, it is a harder replaceable piece because that communication is much less.
All right, Zach, thanks for being here. I have to admit that when I was coming into this, I was very skeptical. I was like, oh, this just sounds like a lazy person's acupuncture. This is cheating. This is for people who are too dumb and too lazy to actually learn the medicine. But I think after this conversation, I think you've convinced me that this is not that's not what this is, that this can actually be a really good tool for enhancing what you already know, or at the very least giving you some new ideas. Like I said, I think a lot of people get stuck in a rut. They use the same 12 points over and over. So I feel like if nothing else, this could make you step outside of your box and try something new. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where most people take AI, I find, right? It's very much like, it's like, oh, this is just to replace, you know, idiots that don't study. That are like, I'm like, no, the technology is not going to help someone on that. Technology is going to only help the people that actually know how to utilize it. That's probably the biggest misnomer around AI. It's AI is only as good as you or whatever the data sets are. So why wouldn't you want to take from world experts that have done years of work and use their information, and then you can use it in your treatments, and then be innovative yourself? I think that's the biggest thing I like about AI, because I'm not going to replace some 80-year-old. I mean, I might be pretty good, but I ain't 80. Right?
Yeah, and I guess like that's how I've been using like even like ChatGPT and stuff. It's like you can't have it just write a blog post for you. Like you can try, but it's not going to be very good. But it is really good to like start generating some ideas and start getting some like, oh yeah, maybe if I say it that way instead of this way, or maybe this is an interesting way to structure it. So there is some way that you can integrate the two together and get something better than just you staring at a blank page. So I can totally see
that. Yeah. And again, I think it is the key of how you interpret the information and what the promptings are. Like ChatGPT, a lot, like I really do study it. I've been down a wormhole, like, you know, we've been talking about, like, you know, our wormholes these days on the side. I've been on a whole AI hyperloop on things because most people are just going to be like, write me a blog. It's not specific whatsoever. Like, if we're utilizing even just a ChatGPT quick conversation, it's like, what's the tone? How many characters? Where the tokens involved. ChatGPT only lets you have 4,000 tokens and then it starts forgetting things. That's 3,000 characters only. So this is like, it's important to understand what's happening behind the data and what scripts they're using even. I know this is a little bit nerdy, but it makes a big difference on the outputs. Because if you say something to ChatGPT and say, you are X, teach me X, well, you told that it has to be a certain role for you now. That role makes a huge difference. Like I've done, utilized your learning. Like I'm actually building out my own study schedule with ChatGPT and things right now because it's so innovative. But even with AI technologies, it's the same thing with this TCM side. It's like I can look at this and say, you know, I keep seeing bladder 25. Why the hell does it pull from this? And then I could actually start researching bladder 25 in China and saying like, well, if you don't have Chinese contacts, like the person I just talked to recently, like he's a good pal of mine. And he says, yeah, that distal treatment standard in China, it's gone. Like no one does distal treatments in China. And I was like, really? That's like, that was a shtick. That's like, that's how good you were. Like that's aristocratic stuff. He's like, no, it's actually reversed now. If you don't go directly to the problem in China, they think you're an idiot. Right. And it's like it's a flip. And we don't know that because, again, if we look at those scripts directly coming from China, they're going to be giving you a lot of direct body points that say you have a shoulder pain, work on the shoulder directly and here's some distal. But that's not what we've been taught here in the West. Right. So now you're getting to, again, those are biases, but the biases, if you don't have a contrasting view to it, you don't have an idea to kind of brainstorm. And I think that's actually really important is that learning of give me a contrasting view, right? Let me know someone else's experience because it's worked for them and I know my world. So if we compare both, then now you're a transformer, right? You literally get the best of both things happening now. And that makes a big difference because, again, the prompting, the outputs that you get, it is a huge education. You can literally save so much money just using the tech that we're talking about.
Well, all right, Zach, thanks for being here. Thanks for talking with us. And Zach has a workshop August 12th. And so we'll put some links to some information to that below in the description. But Zach, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Nicholas.
This session can be downloaded at podcast.tcmstudy.net/session19. Special thank you to the Patreon members for supporting this podcast and the website tcmstudy.net. If you'd like to join them in their support, head on over to podcast.tcmstudy.net and click the donate button in the upper corner. But that's all for today. We'll see you next time.